Welcome to the Bulwark Podcast. I'm Charlie Sykes. Our episode today is brought to you by Plexaderm. One of the biggest stories, if not the biggest story over the weekend, was broken by Politico, by Natasha Bertrand and Brian Bender, who reported on Friday night about the stopovers by the U.S. Air Force at a previously obscure airport in Scotland. It just happened to be nearby one of Donald Trump's golf courses. And even though she is probably the most sought-after reporter in America today, she joins us right now on the Bulwark Podcast. Good to talk with you, Natasha.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I was actually driving in on Friday night to do an MSNBC hit. We were going to talk about GOP primaries or something slightly boring. And I'm listening to SiriusXM, and you come on the previous show with this story, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is an amazing, remarkable story. And I was fortunate enough to be able to comment on it. But let's just talk about this story, which seems to have several different elements. The latest development is the Air Force leaders are ordering the probe of the Trump resort stays. The stopovers at this airport have tripled since 2015. The president is tweeting about it, saying he knew nothing about it. So let's start with that. Donald Trump, this story has gotten under his skin. Donald Trump is tweeting that he didn't know anything about the stopovers of the C-17s at this airport.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to believe. I mean, especially when he said that he has nothing to do with this airport, which of course is not true, because in 2014, they actually signed a partnership agreement, the Trump Organization and this particular airport, because of course it's the closest airport to Trump Turnberry. It's about 30 miles away, and the closest airport other than that would be the main airport in Glasgow, which is about an hour and a half drive. So really the ability of Trump Turnberry to survive really depends on this airport, which was very indebted as of recently to survive itself. So for him to say that he didn't necessarily know that the Air Force itself was landing at the airport and then staying at his property is a little bit more believable, I think, than him saying that he has nothing to do with this airport at all. We're still digging into whether or not there were actually any kind of, you know, winks and nods that went on at higher levels in order to facilitate this kind of presence by the Air Force at his properties. But right now, what we can confirm is that on more than one occasion, the Air Force was spending money to stay at Trump's properties.
That's certainly part of the story. But the other part of the story from your original story is also about the Air Force, you know, stopping and refueling in Scotland and spending millions of dollars there, which, of course, then raises the question about whether or not the Air Force or the U.S. military is in some ways helping prop up that airport, which plays a significant role in propping up the golf course. Have I got that right? I mean, there's
right.
A connection. I mean, if that airport ever went bankrupt or shut down, the Turnberry golf course would be dead, right? I mean,
it would definitely suffer a lot. And I think that's exactly right. That is a key part of this. What we were told is that this particular crew that stopped over in March, the C-17 crew, they were very kind of surprised that not only were they stopping there, which, you know, there's no military base there. Usually they do stop at military bases just because it's more convenient. Their planes can be looked at and examined overnight by mechanics who specialize in this kind of thing. And of course, the fuel is cheaper. They were surprised to be landing at this small airport that where they had never landed in Scotland before on this particular mission. And they had usually landed in Spain or Germany, but this was really a detour. And then on top of that, they were kind of shuttled to Trump Turnberry to spend the night, where we were told their per diem allowances just for food and drinks really weren't enough to cover the cost of the amenities there.
So the real question is how unusual is this? I mean, because of course that's going to be the spin. There will be several justifications for this, right? This is usual, and this actually started before he was elected president, correct?
That's what we've been hearing from the Air Force, but it took them a good, you know, 24 hours to get us a statement saying, well, you know, the fact that we have military flights landing at Prestwick Airport and refueling there is not unusual, because this agreement between the Defense Department and this airport in order to facilitate these kinds of refuelings was signed under the Obama administration. That's all well and good, but what they haven't answered is the question of, well, were the Air Force crews staying at Trump properties before Trump was elected? Why are these flights, which are more than capable of landing at U.S. military bases around the world, especially, you know, in Spain and Germany and Italy, in the Azores? I mean, there are plenty of options here. And this is what we heard repeatedly from current service members who say that it is very unusual. Why is this happening with more frequency than ever before? And why are we paying more for the fuel than we would at a U.S. military base?
And the frequency is up dramatically.
Dramatically, yes.
So if there is a good explanation for this, an innocent explanation for this, a reasonable rationale, we would have heard it by now, because as you pointed out on Friday night, I mean, the real news peg here was not just this one stopover, but was the fact that the House Oversight Committee has been investigating this particular incident, and they feel that they have been stonewalled. I mean, you would think that you know, when the Air Force gets a letter from the House of Representatives Oversight Committee, they might respond if they've got a good response.
Right. And that's exactly why we were skeptical after 24 hours of not hearing from them, that this was as routine as they tried to make it sound. And the House Oversight Committee sent them a letter in June of this year because they had been tipped off to these flights and these stays at Trump Turnberry as early, I think, as March of this year. And they requested all documents that would explain why these decisions were made, how much, if at all, the per diem rates were raised in order to accommodate these stays at Trump resorts, etc. And they had not heard anything back from the Pentagon for a good 2.5 months. And all of a sudden, now the Air Force is kind of scrambling to get back to the House Oversight Committee, saying that they take this extremely seriously, that the perception that they are enriching the president is obviously not one that they want the Air Force to be to have among the American public. But obviously it raises the question, well, then why has this letter from the Oversight Committee been sitting on the Pentagon desk for 2.5 months now?
Yeah, I want to go back to the issue of the refueling, because as you pointed out on Friday night, you know, had they gone to the airbase in the UK, this would have been cheaper because the military gets billed at a higher rate for fuel at commercial airports. So in and of itself, it raises eyebrows that you would go to a commercial airport as opposed to one of the Air Force's own bases to spend millions of dollars for jet fuel. I don't know if it's a jet, but jet, you know, for the fueling.
For fuel. Right. Right. And that is one of the biggest questions we have, is whether this has been purposeful, whether this increase has actually been a purposeful attempt by people within the military to prop up this airport, which would then, of course, prop up Trump Turnberry, or whether, you know, there's other reasons for this dramatic increase in fuel purchases at Prestwick. But what we do know is that Prestwick has had an agreement with Trump Turnberry for about 5 years now, and Prestwick was struggling a lot financially. So the link between them getting this, all of this business from the Pentagon, and then going to Trump Turnberry and arranging for the military to stay in these rooms, organizing transportation to and from the airport for free, it really raises questions about the kind of symbiotic relationship between the military, the airport, and Trump Turnberry, and also why, of the 24 hotels that are in the area, why Trump's resort, which is very much on the high end, obviously, of hotels around there, why it's becoming an increasingly common option, a popular option for them.
Yeah, I mean, the dots do connect here, or at least appear to, because, you know, as you point out, Prestwick has been debt ridden. The Scottish government bought it in 2013 for £1, but it was still losing money. And then, of course, you have the public record of Donald Trump entering into an agreement with Prestwick, appearing at events, promising to do everything he possibly could, you know, to bring Prestwick back. And then you have this story of the Air Force missions being diverted. And of course, this comes, and here's the context of your story dropping on Friday. You point out the revelation that an Air Force mission may have helped line the president's pockets comes days after Vice President Mike Pence was pressed about his decision to stay at Trump's property in Dunburg, Ireland, despite its location hundreds of miles from Dublin. And of course, this also comes after the president talking about having the G7 summit, at one of his other resorts. So this has been an ongoing story about the president's self-dealing, but this strikes me as potentially different. It takes it to a new level, doesn't it? Because now you are talking about the diversion of military funds to be used for the president's personal business.
I think that's exactly right. And that's why we were so struck when we first received this information from someone I would really characterize as a whistleblower in all of this. He had actually gone to Congress months ago, and his tip actually brought all of this to their attention. And he was very frustrated because he hadn't seen any movement by the House Oversight Committee on this issue, because they, of course, weren't getting answers from the Pentagon either. So even internally, this has been very alarming to a lot of people, especially on kind of the career side, especially on the kind of the military side, and the civilian side, maybe a little less. But people who have served in previous administrations, they see this and they see a very distinct pattern forming, which is that the president is increasingly using using the federal government to prop up his own properties. And if this were to come in a vacuum, I don't think that it would be, well, it would still be a very big story, obviously, but I think the pattern here is what really makes it striking, which is that, you know, the vice president of the United States was kind of urged with a wink and a nod by the president, even if not told explicitly, to stay at his resort. And now we see that the military itself is actually kind of complicit in all of this.
Yeah, no, on Friday night when I commented on this, I think I was probably somewhat naive because nothing ever moves the needle. But what I said was, you know, this has the potential of changing some of the dynamics, because I don't think the people in Wisconsin and Michigan are particularly moved by, you know, discussions of the emolument clause. But If they hear that a president has really wrapped himself in the military and national security, is diverting funds from the military, diverting funds from our troops, diverting funds from national security, that might start to move the needle a little bit. And this, of course, comes very shortly after the president diverted hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars from other Pentagon priorities, including safe schools for the children of our troops to build his wall. So, you know, it's hard to know what actually changes the dynamics of all of this. But this story is not going to go away now anytime soon, is it?
No, I don't think so. And we're actually still digging into it, obviously. And one of the big lingering questions we have is whether this is happening at other Trump properties, whether other Trump properties near airports that potentially are able to refuel these planes are also seeing kind of a boon in profit because of, or, you know, just at least partly because of the military spending money there. So that's something we're investigating. We're also investigating whether foreign governments and foreign militaries are doing something similar. We want to know how many times this has happened, which is something the military still hasn't been able to tell us. They said that that is part of their ongoing investigation now. They insist that they do know. They have an exact number of how many times the military has actually stayed at Trump Turnberry, but they're not willing to tell us yet. So that is something we're keeping an eye on, because obviously there have been over 200 overnight stays in Prestwick since 2015. And it's just in the last year alone, between 2018 and 2019. So what we want to know is, have the majority of these stays been at Trump's properties? And if so, why are we just learning about it now?
Now, on Saturday, the Air Force issued a statement in response to your story saying it was not unusual. And they said every 2.5 minutes, an Air Force transport aircraft takes off or lands somewhere around the globe. And they basically said, you know, this was completely normal and routine. And yet today you're reporting that there is going to be a very, very high level review. So what changed from Saturday to today?
That's a great question. I think, you know, just probably the level of outrage over this story. And I think they probably realized as well that this wasn't going away, and that it was obvious that we were uncovering more instances of this, which we did and which we will continue to report. We have follow-ups coming on more instances of this happening, on busloads of crew members staying at Trump properties. So I think they realized that this is something that they really had to take seriously. And that is something that a very senior official told us yesterday, which is, you know, we take very seriously the idea that the American people might have a perception that we are enriching the president. And if that is something that we determine is going to be the consequence of us staying at his properties, then we are going to reconsider allowing our crew members to stay at Trump resorts. Now, what conclusion they actually come to remains to be seen, but it is very telling that their shift here happened after they realized that this was the public outrage over this was really stronger than they thought.
So this also comes right after the whole Sharpie incident and after the NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, issued a statement basically repudiating the Weather Service for questioning Donald Trump's erroneous predictions. This is getting complicated, isn't it? But everybody, I think, knows the story. I guess the question is, we've seen this administration put pressure on agencies of government, you know, issue a statement, back me up, defend me, whether it's the Park Service for crowd sizes or whether, you know, it's the, you know, it's the Weather Service for his dumb Sharpie gate. Are you at all concerned that similar pressure is going to be brought on the Department of Defense to sort of circle the wagons and say nothing to see here?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I would not be surprised if the president came out tomorrow and said this review is a witch hunt, right? I mean, this is not, that would not be out of character for him at all. I think the Pentagon realizes, though, and especially the Air Force realizes that all eyes are on them right now. And we do not need to rely on their statements and the fact sheets that they give us in order to uncover more information about this, because let me tell you, you know, after we first reported that story on Friday, my inbox was flooded with current service members who were complaining about similar scenarios. And while we have to run down each of them and we have to verify and fact check them all, this is not by any means an isolated incident. And they could have a very real revolt on their hands by people who are unhappy with the perception that they are staying at the president's resorts in order to boost his own financial, you know, his own properties.
Are you surprised that this became as big a story as it became, or did you know when you guys pressed the publish button that this was going to be a deal?
We had a sense that this one might blow up, because again, like you mentioned earlier, this just seems to be on a whole different level. We had heard before about, you know, Trump's certain cabinet officials staying at Trump's properties, and the vice president, yeah, and Bill Barr spending his own money, $30,000, at Trump's hotel in order to throw a Christmas party this year. But we always kind of considered the military to be separate and apart from all of that kind of grift. And now that we know that perhaps the military is, well, we know that the military has been spending money at Trump's properties, it kind of just adds a new layer to this that people, I think, were really shocked to hear.
I want to talk about another new layer in just a moment. First, I want to hear from our sponsor. Okay, picture your face in the mirror. Do you see all those wrinkles around your eyes? How about the crow's feet or those large under-eye bags? Now imagine they're gone. I'm not talking about some risky, expensive surgery. Just gone in minutes. It's called Plexiderm, a clinically studied serum that visibly eliminates your wrinkles, crow's feet, and under-eye bags in minutes. It's the edge you've been looking for. Plexiderm can give you the confidence you'll need to be yourself at work or out with friends. And the best part is, Plexiderm goes on clear, so nobody will know you're using it unless you tell them. Go to tryplexiderm.com and use my code BULWARK for 50% off plus an additional $10 off. That's right, 50% off plus an additional $10 off. This offer is also available by calling 1-800-685-1292 and mentioning code word BULWARK. Plexiderm is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit tryplexiderm.com today and use code BULWARK at checkout. That's tryplexiderm.com. Okay, we're back with Natasha Bertrand from Politico, who broke the rather remarkable story over the weekend about the diversion of U.S. Air Force planes to Scotland, and we're still trying to figure out how widespread the practice of having the air crew stay at a Trump property has been. There comes a moment in every scandal where there's something that breaks through. There's some element that gets people to say not same old, but also there's the cumulative weight. And you were mentioning this right before the break. All of the other stories that have been out there of people trying to curry favor with the president at Trump Hotel, members of the administration spending money, whether it's Bill Barr, whether it's Mike Pence. The pattern has been established, but it does feel, so we've already got the pattern of self-dealing by the president, but there does feel something different when it is the military. And I think that that's the one aspect of this that makes it different and potentially really deadly for the administration.
Yeah, I think that this could be and it has been actually kind of a knife in the gut for them, because members of Congress now are considering including that in, you know, their impeachment investigation, and that the all of the elements of potential corruption are there, right? So they were investigating the G7 potential stay at Doral. They're investigating Trump's resort stay, but now they have a whole new layer of all of this to investigate. And it involves, you know, the military personally enriching the commander in chief, which is probably one of the most serious allegations that has been launched against the president to date. I think the next step, obviously, would be determining whether the president is telling the truth about having no involvement in this. And that is what the Freedom of Information Act is for. And we are utilizing that tool at our full disposal. So I think, you know, there's clearly, now that we've been able to uncover, you know, that there was more than one instance of the Air Force staying at this Trump resort, I really, really doubt that this hasn't happened elsewhere. And I think it's only a matter of time before that comes out as well.
So speaking of other things that might or seem like they're a different sort of a story, and I know you've been working on this 24/7 since it broke, but any thoughts about the president's self-revelation that he had invited the Taliban to come to Camp David for some sort of a ceremony on the anniversary of 9/11. I mean, the Taliban terrorists were supposed to come to Camp David. That seems very off-brand to me.
Yeah, it's, you know, there was a lot of speculation going around that perhaps he tweeted that to divert from the damaging news cycle of him using the military to enrich himself, because it just seemed to come out of nowhere, right? And this is obviously something that was proposed and scrapped within about a week by the administration. It did not go through the normal national security channels that these things normally go through. And it was kind of just on a whim, the president decided that he wanted to do this. He wanted to make it seem to the press like he was going to have the Taliban sign this peace deal while at Camp David, when in fact the Taliban wanted to sign the peace deal before going to Camp David. So in reality, it probably had more to do with not being able to secure that deal from the Taliban than it did with any kind of other considerations that Trump said. But you know, he has this uncanny ability to change the news cycle. And I would not be surprised in the least if this was a part of that.
Yeah, and it also just seems so shambolic, an indication of just how seat of the pants the president's diplomacy might be on an issue that is going to have a lot more resonance to people than I think a lot of the other issues, because there's much more of an emotional attachment. Natasha Bertrand, I know you are incredibly busy, and we are very, very grateful that you would spend time with us talking about this story, and obviously want to follow what future developments are. And as you point out, one of the things that gives this story legs is not just the Air Force investigation, but Congress, which is back in session now and apparently about to begin its formal impeachment proceedings. So there are actually like live bullets out there.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. The Oversight Committee had told us last week that if they didn't start getting answers from the Pentagon this week, then they would take alternative steps. We don't exactly know what that means, but we think it means a subpoena. So we'll see what happens, but we should be getting more information on that this week.
Natasha, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it very, very much.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for listening to the Bulwark Podcast. I'm Charlie Sykes. Today's episode was brought to you by Plexiderm. We'll be back tomorrow, and we'll do this all over again.